Please get your Bibles and turn them to John chapter 19, just one verse, verse 30. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Thus far the reading of God's holy, infallible word, and may God Himself add His divine blessing to it. It is finished. That short sentence is only one word in the original. And that word is tetelestai. Tetelestai. Which comes from the Greek word teleo, which has at least four possible meanings in the New Testament. And all these four meanings are applicable to the sixth last word of Jesus on the cross, namely, "It is finished." So what we will be doing in this message is look at these four meanings one by one. And we will apply these four meanings one by one to the sixth last word of Jesus on the cross. So first of all, the Greek word teleo can mean to finish a particular work. For instance, Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished," that's teleo, "I have finished my course, I have completed the race." In our text, Jesus announces, "It is finished," meaning the great work of atonement has now been completed. I have come to the end of my redemptive work. Boys and girls, it's like watching a movie and coming to the end of the story where you see the two words, "the end." Not to be continued, but "the end." Tetelestai, it is finished, the end. And so really, tetelestai is a shout of accomplishment. Jesus completed the work that His Father had assigned to Him. Jesus is saying, as it were, "Mission accomplished." And Jesus accomplished His mission entirely and successfully. In fact, in the original, the verb tetelestai is in perfect tense. Perfect tense. And for that reason, is to be translated as, "It has been finished." It's perfect tense. It has been finished. And in Greek grammar, perfect tense is used to describe a completed action with results which are still in effect all the way up to the present. And here's the point of the tense of the verb, tetelestai. Jesus completed the work of redemption more than 2,000 years ago, and yet the result of His work is still in effect today. The implication of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary many, many years ago is still relevant to us. The work of redemption on the cross has significant importance and value for us today. No one can say that, well, this work is now, because it's too old, Jesus did it, more than 2,000 years ago, and therefore it's no longer relevant to us. Let's talk about something else. Let's not talk about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are wrong, because what He did on the cross is still meaningful today. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. And I sometimes wonder if we are still attracted to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still attracted to what Jesus did at Calvary many, many years ago? And also with the word tetelestai, really, Jesus wants you and me to be content with His finished work. It has been finished. And Jesus is now asking us to be satisfied, to be content with that work. It is done. Or maybe you ask this morning, is what Jesus has done on the cross enough for my salvation? Perhaps you say, maybe I need to add something to His finished work. Well, if you try to add anything to what Jesus has done on the cross, you are insulting Him. Because by implication, you are suggesting that what He has done on the cross is not enough. If I may illustrate my point, suppose you invite me for supper and you spent all your day preparing for a meal and you thought, Pastor Brian is my pastor, I'm going to prepare the best meal ever. And so the time came that we had to sit down and enjoy that meal, whatever dish you made. And imagine if after tasting that let's say soup, I said, you know what, the taste is not enough. Let me go to your cabinet and look for pepper and salt and soy sauce and vinegar. What you made, the taste of it was not enough. I need to add something to it. Now, I want you to be honest. What would you feel? Would you not be offended? Would you not be hurt? Would you not be insulted? Let's apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ. How often people think that what He has done on the cross is not enough. And so we think that we can bring our good works. We think that we can somehow contribute to the work of redemption. When we do that, we are insulting the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that somehow you are going to get a favor, receive a favor from Jesus, or somehow you can please Him? You are wrong. You are wrong. And you see, many people in this world, and as you know, in the Catholic Church, that's the teaching. Yes, they acknowledge the finished work of Jesus on the cross. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for them, it's not enough. We need to add good works to it. No. It is enough. Jesus said, it is finished. It has been finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. And so, that word tetelestai, from which it is derived, it comes from teleo, that teleo can mean to finish a particular work. But let me add this one. It can also mean to fulfill a command. To fulfill a command. James chapter 2, verse 8. There it says, if ye fulfill, that's teleo, the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. If ye fulfill the royal law. teleo. And so, Jesus says, it is finished. And with that, Jesus means I have obeyed all the requirements of the law. I have fulfilled every single prophecy pertaining to my sacrificial death. And indeed, Jesus has fulfilled all the requirements for our salvation. Jesus has fully satisfied His Father's demand, which is absolute perfect obedience to the law. You see, boys and girls, the first Adam failed to meet the demands of the law, which is perfect righteousness, perfection, absolute obedience. He failed to fulfill God's law. He disobeyed God's law. And because of his disobedience, death entered this world. And that's why for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for the wages of sin is death. But hallelujah, God the Father gave us His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became the second Adam. The second Adam kept God's law perfectly. The second Adam, Jesus, obeyed all the Ten Commandments. He fulfilled all the requirements of righteousness. He fulfilled all the requirements for our redemption. He satisfied His Father fully with His perfect obedience, so that anyone who believes in Jesus will be counted righteous. If you believe in Jesus, there is this wonderful exchange. Your sin is imputed to Jesus, and for that reason, He became sin. He who knew no sin. Now remember, He did not become a sinner because He did not sin. But He became sin because your sin was imputed to Him. But when you believe in Jesus, His righteousness will be imputed to you. And so that with that, you will become the righteousness of God. You will become the righteousness of God. You will be righteous as if you had not sinned before, and as if you yourself had kept God's law perfectly, that you yourself had satisfied God's perfect justice. There is a sense that in this world, there are only two kinds of people, two groups of people. Those who are still standing behind the first Adam. Now, that's our default position, by the way. By nature, we are born in the first Adam. We are born in sin. We have death because of that. Now, if you stand behind Adam, the first Adam, if Adam is your representative before this holy, just, righteous God, because he failed, you also failed. Because of his sin, you will have to be punished. He failed. He cannot represent you before God. But hallelujah, we have the second Adam. If you stand behind the second Adam, if you let Jesus be your representative, if He is the one representing you before God, then you don't need to be afraid of God's condemnation. There is no more condemnation upon those who trust in the Lord, upon those who stand behind Jesus. And so the question for you this morning is this: where do you stand? Do you stand behind the first Adam still? Or have taken a step of faith to move here, to stand behind the second Adam for your redemption, for your salvation. I'm standing here. I don't know about you. Because if you're still standing there behind the first Adam, and God forbid you die, all that you have is sin and death and hell in the lake of fire. You see, Jesus came to fulfill all the requirements of the law. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus established peace between God and sinners. And that's why we can sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory be to the newborn King. God and sinners reconciled." Reconciled. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. Third, the word teleo, from which the word tetelestai came, can also mean to keep a promise. So first, it can mean to finish a particular work. Second, to fulfill a command. But third, it can also mean to keep a promise. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. "For he will finish," that's teleo, "for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Now, the point of this verse is that God will do that which He has said. In other words, God will keep His promise. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And really, what Jesus was saying, "I kept the covenant of redemption, that covenant that I had made with my Father from eternity past." And according to this covenant, Jesus would be the one to die on the cross for our redemption. Not the Father, not the Holy Spirit. It was not the Father who died on the cross, nor was it the Holy Spirit. It was God the Son, because that was the agreement from eternity past. That was part of the covenant of redemption. There was an agreement within the three persons of the Trinity that it is God the Father who will send His Son, and that it is the Son who will die on the cross of Calvary, and that it is the Holy Spirit who will apply the finished work of Jesus Christ to sinners who believe in Jesus. And Jesus kept His promise. He kept His covenant. He died on the cross. And so he could now say, "It is finished." His death on the cross was not an accident. He was not a victim in that sense, because it was planned from eternity past. And Jesus had agreed to do that. And He kept His word. Jesus succeeded in fulfilling the promise, especially that promise that we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus, the seed of the woman, bruised the head of the serpent. But ironically, for Jesus to bruise the head of the serpent, He first needed to be bruised by His Father. And that's why we read in Isaiah 53, "He was bruised for our transgressions." He was bruised to bruise the head of the serpent. He kept his promise. Someone said, "It is finished." It is the voice of Emmanuel, the captain of our salvation, who on the red battlefield lays aside the weapons of his warfare and raises the shout of victory, a conqueror over sin and death and Satan, though seeming to be vanquished by his foes. It is finished. I have kept my promise. And do you know the implication of that? That means that we can trust Jesus in His other promises. That was probably the hardest, the most difficult promise to keep, to die on the cross. And you see that right in the Garden of Gethsemane, that Jesus felt that tension, that struggle there in His humanity. That's why He prayed, "Father, if it is possible for me not to die, to accomplish the work of redemption, let me not die, but not my will, but Your will be done." He kept His promise. And therefore, we can trust Him in His other promises. And there are many glorious, beautiful promises in the Word, such as, I will be with you to the end of the age. That Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. And you might say, how do I know that Jesus will keep that promise? How do I know that He will always be with me? Well, remember His cry on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He kept His promise. Will He not also keep His other promises? And so the gospel promise, when it comes to us, for instance, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, how do you know that if you come to Jesus, He will give you rest? How do you know, for instance, John 3:16, that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life? Now, how do you know that if you believe in Jesus, He will give you everlasting life? Well, go back to the cross. Hear His cry. It is finished. He kept His promise. He will also keep His other promises. He is faithful. He is true to His word. He will never fail us in His promises. You hear the gospel promise. Repent. You repent. And He will forgive you all your iniquities, all your sins. He will wash all your transgressions. Believe in Jesus. He will save you. Oh, how can I trust Jesus? How do I know that that's true? Is that all that I need to do? Yes. What else do you need to do? He has done everything that you need to do for your salvation. What He is now asking you to do is trust Him. And so the question is, do you trust the Lord? Do you believe His promise? So if you happen to doubt again, remember His word, "Tetelestai," a word of pledge that He will keep His promises. With the word "Tetelestai," it is finished. Jesus is telling us that He is our covenant-keeping Savior. And so, the word "teleo" can mean to finish a particular work, fulfill a command, keep a promise, but finally, it can also mean to pay a debt. To pay a debt. Romans chapter 13, verse 6. "For this cause, pay," that's teleo, "pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. It is finished. That is, I have fully paid your moral debt to God. I have paid the price of your sin, which is death. It is done. Payment is done. Last month, Pastor Bryce Deswart, Pastor of Adoration, United Reformed Church, and I went to a restaurant in Vineland. And we had lunch together, lunch and fellowship, just to encourage one another. And when we were about to pay for our meals, he actually offered. So he offered to pay. So I said, next time will be my turn. I wish I had done that actually that time, because what happened? So we were standing at the cashier. The cashier was there, and we were about to pay, or he was about to pay, and the cashier said, "You don't need to pay. Someone paid for your meals." So, wow, thank you so much. To whom it may be concerned, like whoever paid that. And of course, we trusted the cashier. We left that restaurant with a clear conscience, even if we ourselves did not pay for our lunch, but we trusted her. There was no receipt. She did not give us a receipt proof that, okay, here's the payment done on your behalf. But we trusted the cashier. She paid for, or not her, but someone paid for us according to her. Well, on the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. And He paid it in full. It is finished. As one hymn writer says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. In Christ, we are no longer in debt. We are now debt-free in the sight of God. All our sins have been forgiven. With the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, we have received a complete, not partial, but complete remission for all our sins. Now, of course, I understand some of you may struggle with assurance of salvation or even assurance of forgiveness. Maybe this morning you are saying, but how do I know if all my sins have been forgiven? How do I know that? Show it to me. Well, I could ask the same question to this cashier. Well, maybe you're not telling the truth. Maybe you're just teasing us. Maybe it's a prank. Maybe you're just trying to see if we are honest or not. And then as soon as we leave the restaurant, you will arrest us. But we trusted the words of this cashier. Even if I didn't really know her, we trusted her words. Now, may I tell this to you? What else do you want to hear from your Savior? He said, it is finished. It has been paid. You're debt free. What else do you need to hear from Him? Why doubt? I don't know. What else do you want to hear? Are you still waiting for somehow God to maybe vocally talk to you and say, you have been forgiven. You are now a child of God. You are one of the elect. All your sins are forgiven. Is this not enough? In a sense, this is like a receipt. Tetelestai is like a receipt. Take it, what Jesus is saying. Here's the receipt. Take it with you. If Satan comes to make you doubt, show that receipt. It is finished. Satan, yes, you are right. I am a sinner. Yes, I am a great sinner. I have sinned. I am full of sin. But the Lord has forgiven me.
I ask for forgiveness. And I know that He has forgiven me because here's the receipt. I'm holding His receipt. Tetelestai, it is finished. I have paid your debt.
And that's why, don't we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts, that we forgive our debtors. Yes, we are all debtors in front of God. But we are now debt free because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of His love. Tetelestai is your receipt. Take that receipt with you whenever you doubt. And that receipt, hold it. With that receipt, you can enter heaven someday. With that receipt, you can enjoy this communion with God, even right now. With that receipt, you can have peace. Like Pastor Bryce and I, we had peace when we left the restaurant. I didn't even think like I was driving. Did they really pay? Maybe, who knows, maybe they will phone the church and say, your pastor did not pay, you need to pay, the deacons did. Then my reputation is at stake. No, I was not thinking about that. I completely trusted the words of this stranger, of this cashier. How much more with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will you not trust Him? When He said, it is finished. Tetelestai. And so my question to you this morning is this. Do you already have this receipt? Tetelestai. Do you believe this? Do you trust the words of Jesus Christ? If you do, then enjoy all the blessings that there is in Christ. And so, as we end this message, really, that word, tetelestai, translated in King James, it is finished. But like what I said, since it is in perfect tense, it should be translated as, it has been finished. It's a completed action with a result that is still in effect even today. It's still relevant to us today. That word, tetelestai, is a summary of the whole work of salvation. On the cross, Jesus, as it were, is scanning. He's scanning all the things that must be done for our redemption from start to finish. And when Jesus comes to the end, He says, it is finished. The end. There is no part two. You know, you watch a film and sometimes it's like it ends not quite right. Like, oh, I wish maybe they should make another movie, like part two. But no. I hope you're not disappointed when Jesus said, it is finished. That's all. The end. It is done. It is done. And are you not glad that it is done? That we can now enjoy His finished work, the blessing of redemption. Redemptive work, completely done. Demands of the law, perfectly obeyed. Promise, faithfully kept. The covenant of redemption, kept. Fully and faithfully, payment paid. And you can imagine, on the cross when Jesus said, tetelestai, it is finished. His father said, well done, my son. Well done. What His father said, In the River Jordan, this is my beloved son. In the beginning, start of His earthly ministry, remember that? In His inauguration, the Father said to His Son, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased.
at the end of his earthly ministry, you could imagine too, God the Father saying, "My son, well done, well done." The Father is so proud saying to the world, "Listen, listen, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He finished what I had assigned to him to do. He finished it victoriously, successfully. It is done. It is done." Lifted up was he to die. "It is finished," was his cry. "Now in heaven, exalted high." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a Savior. And this ought to be our response as we end this message. That when we hear that word tetelestai, we say, "Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a Savior." Let us pray. Oh Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for that great work of redemption. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so very much for all that you have done for us. Thank you for paying the penalty of our sin. You died the death that we should have died, so that we might live with you forever. And thank you for the gospel promise, simple and yet profound. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Lord, we know that that promise is true, and therefore we believe it. We believe the gospel. And we know that it is true because you cried out, "It is finished." You kept your promise. You died. We pray all this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.